Okay, good morning to everybody. As we have just now extinguished the Oireis of Chanukah, the Yom Tov in which we commemorated and relived the union of Chanukas Beis HaMikdosh, as we now turn our attention to the next station in our calendar, which is the opposite. That's the upcoming fast of Asarah B'Teves, which is not about Chanukas Beis HaMikdosh, but to the contrary, about Churban Beis HaMikdosh. So Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach, this morning we're going to discuss a little bit the avodah of Avelus on the Beis HaMikdosh in general, and then we'll see the specific avodah about the Avelus on the Beis HaMikdosh on Asarah B'Teves. Many people, if they're being honest with themselves, find the whole avodah of Avelus on the Beis HaMikdosh quite difficult to connect to. We fast, on Tisha B'Av we'll sit on the floor, we'll talk the talk, we'll walk the walk, but do we feel, do we experience that element of yearning, of missing, of sadness? You know, here in this country, in 1967, almost 60 years ago, after the Six-Day War, when the Kosel HaMaarovi was recaptured, and for the first time in many, many, many years, Klal Yisrael were able to descend to the Kosel, the Mokam HaMikdosh, and daven there. And indeed, I wasn't there at the time, wasn't alive, but I've heard it described, very moving scenes, as hundreds and thousands of young and old made their way to the Kosel for the first time to be able to daven Mokam HaMikdosh. It was described that there were two soldiers there, irreligious, Chiloni soldiers surveying the scene. And one of them burst into tears. And his friend says to him, Yedidi Ayakar, my dear friend, why are you crying? I don't understand. You don't daven anyway. This place has no meaning for you and for me. They're all crying, understand. Davening is clearly very significant, and this is the first opportunity they've had ever in their lifetime to daven here, so they're crying, but you don't daven anyway. This all has no meaning for you, so why are you crying? So he answered back, because I don't really know what you're supposed to cry about. And that's why I'm crying. That's exactly why I'm crying. I'm crying because I don't really know what there is to cry about. And that is the greatest tragedy. I remember having, unfortunately, to go to a very tragic shiva back in Beit Shemesh, where I live. A young man passed away, left a family of children. For me personally, the most difficult, the most heart-wrenching scene was not the shiva, but rather when I left the shiva, outside the front door where the shiva was being held, the little three-year-old son was playing on the floor with his Lego. That was just gut-wrenching, because he doesn't know what there is to cry about. And when you don't know what to cry about, then that's the saddest of all. That itself is a reason to cry. Somebody once came to the Rosh Hashiva of Shteyman and he said, I'm being very honest, I find it so hard to connect to the avodah of Tisha B'Av. Yes, I take off my shoes and I don't eat, and yes, I do everything that halacha requires, but I find it very difficult to be connected to the avodah sayyim, and to be honest, to cry on Tisha B'Av, I don't really feel that need or that willingness to cry. So Rav Shteyman said to him, Well, if that's the case, you should cry about that. You should cry just about that. Cry about that what you don't really feel you know what to cry about. Just like this soldier who's seeing the Kaisel and all the scene in front of him, I'm crying because I don't know what to cry about. I had an uncle in London, an uncle of my wife, his name was Reb Sami Homburger, Zichrein de Lavrocha, also passed away at a young age. And he lived in Golders Green, London, and on one occasion he was redecorating his house. He had non-Jewish builders, and he said to them, listen, I have a request. When you paint the house, could you just please ensure that next to the door, could you leave a square, 60 centimeters by 60 centimeters, unpainted? I want the stone brick wall to be revealed there. This guy was in total shock. Mr. Homburger, why would you do that? You're paying good money to have your house refurbished, repainted. Why would you want to leave a whole square that you could just see the bare rock? So he said to him, well, we're Jews, and we had a temple 2,000 years ago, and unfortunately, tragically, it was destroyed. And therefore, our rabbis have instructed that we have to have this square, this Amor, Al Amor, Zeichel Churban, to commemorate this temple. So he said, this goy said to my uncle, Mr. Homburger, can't you just let bygones be bygones? It's history! And the truth is that this guy is 100% correct. Because if indeed we view the whole concept of the Beis HaMikdash and the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash as bygone, something that once happened, then indeed, what would be the purpose of reliving it? Let bygones be bygones. So why indeed do Chazal want us to be misabel on the Churban? After the Second World War, there was a proposition, a suggestion made to the Briskerov, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And they proposed to him that after the unspeakable events in the Second World War, wouldn't it be appropriate to make a day in our calendar, Holocaust Memorial Day, in which we would daven and be mekayim mitzvahs, li'ilu nishmas, 6 million of Acheinu b'nei Yisrael who perished, al kiddush Hashem. And the Briskerov was vehemently against. Chas v'shalom. Why chas v'shalom? Is it not important to commemorate those who died al kiddush Hashem? Is it not important to do all that we can to be male than the shomis atahirais vakedoshois? Said the Briskerov, it's very important. I never said that you shouldn't. What I said is, don't make a separate day National Holocaust Memorial Day. Rather, when should that be commemorated? On which day? On Tisha B'Av. Not that I'm against Chas v'Shalom remembering the Karbona is the Kedoshim, but not to make a separate day. Rather, that has to be commemorated on Tisha B'Av as well. What did the Briskerov mean? What did the Briskerov mean? There is a story recalled in the Medrash in Eicha, where the Medrash tells us that in the neighborhood of Rabban Gamliel, one of the great Tanoim, there was a woman who tragically lost a child. And every single night, this woman used to cry for the child that she lost. The Medrash brings this story on the Pasuk, Bochoy Sivke Balaila, crying at night. The Medrash says, indeed, this woman used to cry every single night. Says the Medrash, V'hoyo Rabban Gamliel Shoimeya Eskoilo. Rabban Gamliel would hear her voice. She clearly was a neighbor of his. And he would hear her tears, he would hear her sobbing. V'hoyo nizkar b'churban beis hamikdash. When she cried, then he would remember the churban beis hamikdash. V'hoyo boiche imo, and he would cry together with her. Now this story is very difficult to understand. Firstly, why when she cried about her son, did he remember the churban beis hamikdash? What's one got to do with another? And secondly, if for some reason he did, and he was crying about the Beis HaMikdash, but she was crying about something else. She was crying about her child. So how can you say, Boiche Imo? He was crying with her. He wasn't crying with her. He was just crying at the same time, but about two separate things. She's crying about her personal tragedy, and he's crying about the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So how can you call that? How can the Medrash say, Hoyo boiche imo? He was crying with her. L'chayr is not with her, it just happens to be at the same time. And the answer is, and this is the yesod, that following the Churban Beis HaMikdash, when Klal Yisrael are in Golus, then we live in Hester Ponim. Hester Ponim means Kaviyochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's countenance is covered, and we're not zoicha to that same hashkocha that we're zoicha at the times of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why tragedies can befall Klal Yisrael. So when she cried over her son, why did Rabban Gamliel hoyo nizka b'churban? Because he understood that that tragedy is also a result and a manifestation of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So therefore he cried about the Beis HaMikdash v'hoyo boiche imo. He didn't just cry at the same time, he cried together with her, because they're both actually crying about the same thing. What are they both mourning? The fact that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. And when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we're not zeicha, asara nisim b'chol yoyim, ha'oras ponim, the same hashkocha, no! V'onoichi aster hastir, there's hester ponim. There's tzoros, there's tragedies that befall Klal Yisrael. So when this tragedy befell her, hoyo nizkar b'churban, he reminded himself, that indeed triggered the memory of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, such that they cried together. What the Briskerov was saying is, you have to understand that if 6 million of Klal Yisrael were killed on Kiddush Hashem in the Holocaust, a difficult, unfathomable tragedy, that we have to comprehend that that too is a result of the Churban. That's not a separate tragedy. That is yet another manifestation of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So yes, of course we have to commemorate the Kedoshim. Yes, of course we have to daven le'ilu nishmasam. Yes, of course we have to do everything we can to be meroimim their neshamas, but not on a different day. Because if you do so on a different day, what are you demonstrating? That you haven't understood that the Holocaust is also a result of the Churban. It has to be commemorated on Tisha B'Av. And on Tisha B'Av, there are many Kehillos HaKodesh across the world. Indeed, they say a kinnah at the end of the kinnahs for the Holocaust. There are other kinnahs that we say on Tisha B'Av. The Crusades in Europe, the pogroms in Europe. What's that got to do with Tisha B'Av? And the answer is, everything. It's not just, let's lump all the tzoros in one day and get this over and done with. Chas v'shalom. The reason why we have a kin about the pogroms and about the Crusades and about the Holocaust is because all of that is a product of Tisha B'Av. And that's what the Briskerov meant. Yes, you have to have a day in which you commemorate the 6 million, but that day has to be Tisha B'Av. You have to understand that that also is a manifestation of Tisha B'Av. And therefore, when this guy says, let bygones be bygones, he's 100% right. If we view it as a bygone, just as history, well then it's happened. We don't cry the spilt milk. But why do we have a Zeichel of Churban? Why do we have an Avodah of Churban Beis HaMikdash? Because we understand that it's not bygones, it's current effects. The Tzoris, the lack of that same Hashkocha, we're missing out that Gilui Ponim, the tragedies, the wars, the Tzoris that befall Klal Yisrael, currently, now, Tavshi and Pehei, are all a result of the Churban, so it's not a bygone. Were it to be a bygone, then the Goy is 100% right. Let bygones be bygones, it's all history, it's happened already. So when we find that sometimes it's difficult for us to connect to the Avodah of Churban Beis HaMikdash, we don't really know what to cry about, then this is a step in the right direction. To understand that it's not a commemoration of what once was, but rather it's a mourning of what is at the moment. It's very real. It's very practical. It's very relevant to our day-to-day lives. Now we must not make a mistake. Nobody should misunderstand. It's true. At the time of the Beis HaMikdash, we were zoicha to Asara Nisim B'chol Yoy. And an altogether different Hashkocha. And now we don't have that anymore. That's not, however, the reason why we want the Beis HaMikdash back. We're not going to be so selfish as to say, do you know why we want the Beis HaMikdash? So that there shouldn't be Tzaras anymore in Klal Yisrael. That's why we want the Beis HaMikdash back. I once heard a moshel, very poignant moshel from one of the big Rosh Hashivas in the United States of America. And he said as follows. Moshel lemoad davar doimah. Somebody only has one child, his only daughter, his beloved daughter. And she's destined to get married. Great excitement. How moving this occasion is going to be. His only child, his only daughter is going to marry her off. Tragedy strikes. 1 week before the chuppah, the father of the kala gets a phone call. Unfortunately, your father, meaning the grandfather of the kala, has just passed away unexpectedly. All of a sudden, chasna is forgotten. Who's got the headspace and the capacity to think about preparing for a chasna? Sitting shiva. The last day, the seventh and final morning, he gets up from the shiva. That afternoon is the chuppah. And somehow he just has to muster up the emotional strength. He dusts himself down, changes his clothes, puts on his shoes, and he walks his daughter down to the chuppah. What an emotional scene this is. On the one hand, his father's not there. Who would have predicted this? He's just got up from shiva. On the other hand, he's Baruch Hashem walking his daughter to the chuppah, a turmoil of emotions. Father of the kala, this Reuven, is approached by his close friend Shimon. And Shimon says, my dear friend Reuven, I know, I feel this must be so hard, such a difficult mix of emotions for you. On the one hand, your daughter getting married, and your father's not here. On the other hand, it must be so hard for you. And Reuven says, Shimon, I appreciate your words. I knew only you would really understand. We've been friends for so long. Yashar koyach for being mechazik me. And then Shimon carries on and he says to Reuven, such a tragedy that your father's not here. Ah, who would have predicted that your father wouldn't be here at the chasna? If only your father was here, I'm sure he would have signed the check and paid for the chasna. And Reuven looks at him and says, Shimon, you've come to be mechazik me? That's a chizuk? Am I such a balgaiv? Am I so self-centered that that's why I'm missing my father? Because my father would have signed on a check and he would have paid for the chasana? That's why I'm missing my father? I'm missing my father because I don't have that kesha anymore. I don't have a father. I'm a yosem. That's why I'm missing him. So this Rosh Hashiva said, it's true that atzoreis in Klal Yisrael. And it's true, if the Beis HaMikdash will be restored, then Be'ezus Hashem, those tzoreis will be a thing of the past. But that's why we have a velus on the Beis HaMikdash. That's why we want the Beis HaMikdash back, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will sign on the check. Of course, the prime reason why we want the Beis HaMikdash back is to be zeicha once again to Ashras HaShchina, and to be zeicha to Vani Kirvas Elohim Li Toiv, and that our davening should be easier, and our Vidas Hashem will be able to be closer connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, we shouldn't make a mistake, let's not misunderstand. That is the prime reason why we miss Abel on the Churban. But if we find it difficult to do so, then at least a step in the right direction that can help us connect to that Churban is, as we said, to understand that it's not bygones. It's very real. On Erev Tisha B'Av last year, I asked my children around the table, do you want the Beis HaMikdash to be built? You want Mashiach to come? So my little son, 7 years old, says, yeah, I really want the Beis HaMikdash to be built. I said, really, why? He says, because if Mashiach comes, I know that I'm going to have servants. I'm going to have avadim. I said, Chaim, why do you need avadim? He says, well, then they'll buy me things, and they'll clean all my clothes, and they'll make me food. I said, Chaim, doesn't mommy do that for you already? Ah, you're right. So maybe on second thoughts, we don't need Mashiach after all. That's a cute story if you're a 7-year-old kid, but we're not 7 years old. That's not why we want Beis HaMikdash to be restored, that we'll have avadim, and that all our needs will be taken care of. But yes, certainly we have to understand. Certainly we have to understand that the avoid of the Beis HaMikdash is prime, first and foremost, all about Ashras HaShchino and Kirvas Elohim, of course. But we have to understand at the same time that the hestoponim that we live in at the moment, current affairs, today, Gimel Teves, we're in the midst of a very difficult, brutal war. The Milchama that we're in the middle of now is a result of Churban Beis HaMikdash. This is not bygones. This is current affairs. How can it be that on Yom Simchas Torah there is a breach and thousands are killed, Hashem Kiddush Hashem, that is a lack of Hashkocha as a result of the Churban Beis HaMikdash? We have to understand that as a result of the Churban, this is not bygones. This is current events. This is very much current affairs. And therefore, we don't want this time next week on Asar B'Teves to go through the motions and not really know. I don't know why you have to cry. Because then maybe Rav Shteyman will tell us too, well, if you don't know why you should cry, then you should just cry about that. No, we do know what we need to cry about. We understand that we're lacking the Hashras HaShchino. We understand we're in Hester Ponim. This is very real, this is very practical and very relevant. So I'd like to expound a little bit on what it is that we can do and should do, and what it is that Chazal expect us to do in the Golos, to play our part in restoring the Beis HaMikdash, and at the end we'll bring it back specifically to the Avoida, the very unique Avoida of Avelus on the Beis HaMikdash on Asar B'Teves. Because if we turn to our parasha, it's one of the most dramatic scenes, is it not, in the whole Torah. Ani Yosef Ha'oid Avichai. We all know the story, and yet every year we read it again and a shiver, a chill up the spine. And the Torah writes, Vayipoil al Tzavrei Binyamin Ochiv Vayevk. And Yosef HaTzadik fell on, it doesn't say on the neck, it says Tzavrei, which is the plural, the necks. And he cried. He fell on the necks of his brother Binyamin and he cried. The pasuk continues, Ubinyamin Bacha al Tzavarov. He in turn cried on the neck, in the singular, of Yosef HaTzadik. Says Rashi, why does it say that Yosef fell and cried upon the necks, in the plural, of his brother Binyamin? What is this a reference to? The two Botei Mikdosh, Rishon and Sheni, both of which were in the chelek of Binyamin HaTzadik. And Yosef could see Beruach HaKodesh that they were going to be destroyed, and that's why he was crying. In turn, Binyamin cried over the neck in the singular of Yosef, because the Mishkan Shiloh, that was built in the chelek of Yosef, and that was also destroyed. So Yosef was crying about the double Churban Beis Hamikdash in the chelek of Binyamin, that's the double Loshen Tzavrei. Binyamin was crying about the Churban of the Mishkan Shiloh, which was in the chelek of Binyamin. Why is the Beis Hamikdash compared to a neck? What is the neck? The neck is the mokim of connection, chibur, between the head, the most important part, and the rest of the guf. So too, the Beis HaMikdash is that point of connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our Rosh, and the rest of the guf, Klal Yisrael. So what is the obvious question? The obvious question is, why did Binyamin and Yosef cry now? Why now? If they could predict, if they could foretell with Ruach HaKodesh, there's going to be a Churban HaBayis, Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, there's going to be a Churban of the Mishkan, so they should cry. But why now? Dafka at this great epic moment of reunification between all the brothers, now they cry over the Churban? Why Dafka now? And I think the answer is very simple. Because we all know that Chazal tell us that why was the first Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Because Klal Yisrael were over the Gimel Averis Chamuris, Shvichas Domim, Gilui Arois, Avodah Zarah. Why was the second Beis HaMikdash destroyed, says Chazal? Which Avera? Sinas Chinam. Says the Gemara, this teaches us that Sinas Chinam is shkula, is equatable to the Gimel Averis Chamuris. What does that mean, Sinas Chinam? Which particular brand of Sinas Chinam? So we all know, the Torah writes, Klal Yisrael came back, the Meraglim, there's Bechi, there's crying, and Chazal tell us that that night was the night of Tisha B'Av. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, because you cried a Bechi Yashel Chinam, for nothing, a purposeless crying, I will be Koveya, that this night will be a night of crying forevermore over the Churbonos Beis HaMikdash. How was that crying brought about? Which Avera? The Avera of Loshen Hara. And in fact, the Gemara tells us elsewhere in Eruchin, that Loshen Hara is equatable to the Gimel Averis Chamures. So it all fits in perfectly. If Sinas Chinam is Keneged, is Shokul Keneged Gimel Averis Chamures, and that Sinas Chinam is referring specifically to Loshen Hara, says the Chofetz Chaim in his Sefer Chofetz Chaim, that when the Gemara says Sinas Chinam, clearly what that really means is Loshen Hara, which is of course triggered by Sinas Chinam, then obviously Loshen Hara is therefore by definition Keneged Gimel Averis Chamuris. So what brought about the Churbanos of the Beis HaMikdash? Sinas Chinam and Loshen Hara. Where were these Averas initially implanted in Klal Yisrael? Doesn't it say by Yosef HaTzadik, Vayove Yosef es dibosom ra'a? There was Loshen Hara. Now of course we have to be ever so careful to my Yosef HaTzadik, to my Yosef HaTzadik. But yet the Torah does say there was an element of Loshen Hara. And what does it say shortly afterwards? How did the brothers view Yosef? Vayisnu u'oisai, and they hated him, v'lo yochlu dabroi l'sholem, they could not talk to him in peace and harmony. So what's being mentioned over here? Which two are there? Loshon Hara and Simchas Chinuch. Now the story comes to a close, and there's this dramatic achdus once again, a reunification of the brothers. And we would have thought that what? That everybody now lives happily ever after. But Yosef and Binyamin cry at this moment because they realize that what? That it's not all over. That the Loshon Hara and the Simchas Chinuch, that little spark, has been ingrained in Klal Yisrael, and ultimately that's what will precipitate and bring about the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So dafka at this moment, the moment of achdus once again between the brothers, but that's when they see Beruach HaKodesh, that yes, there is achdus at the moment. But these midos, these averas of Loshon Hara and Simchas Chinuch, the damage has been done. They've been inculcated, infused, as it were, into Klal Yisrael. And even though, of course, Klal Yisrael have the Bechira to be Mesakenat, so that they shouldn't be a Churban, but they see Beruach HaKodesh that they're not Mesakenat, and there will be a Churban. And those initial Averas of Loshon Hara and Simchas Chinuch ultimately will bring about the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Which means, therefore, if we come back now to our Avodah, Churban Beis HaMikdash, and specifically Asarah Bateiros. We all know the famous words of the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim tells us, if Loshon Hara and Simchas Chinuch is what brought about the Churban of Beis HaMikdash, then those are the Averas that we have to be Mesaken in order to bring about the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Because don't Klal Yisrael, don't Chazal teach us that any generation in which the Beis HaMikdash is not built, it's as if that generation experienced the Churban. Meaning, every year we could restore the Beis HaMikdash, and if we haven't, it means we still have that Loshon Hara and that Simchas Chinuch amongst us. In fact, the Chofetz Chaim writes there, he says, can you imagine, let's express this in nowadays terminology, imagine if you switch on a computer and you get an email. Campaign. So what's our first reaction? Another one. Matching campaign. Campaign to build a Beis HaMikdash. Oh, this is worth reading. We're making a campaign to raise $1 trillion to fund the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Please click now to donate. How long would it take, do you think, for Klal Yisrael to raise $1 trillion? A minute? Half a minute? Build the Beis HaMikdash! Says the Chofetz Chaim, you don't need to pay money to build the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Chofetz Chaim, I don't need that money. Kol echad yisnadev benefesh chafetza. We'll be more than happy to donate this campaign. Take all my money. Just there should be a Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So the Chofetz Chaim, we don't need that. V'haloi be'emes ein tzorich kesef. We don't need the money. Rak lehischazik michet Loshon Hara and Simchas Chinuch. So that clearly is the avodah. That clearly is the avodah. It's not bygones, as we explained, it's very much current events. But what is it that we can do about those current events? It doesn't cost a dollar, or a shekel, or a pound. But it needs a chizuk in Loshon Hara and Simchas Chinuch. But listen now, why Asarah Bateiros is unique. The Navi writes, with regard to Asarah Bateiros, Yecheskel HaNavi is told, please write down that you have to fast on the 10th of Teves, Ba'etzem HaYoim HaZeh, Loshon HaPosuk, Ba'etzem HaYoim HaZeh. So here we have a chidush gadol la'halacha. What's the halacha when Tisha B'Av is chal b'Shabbos, as we all know, nidcha. Shiva Asar B'Tammuz is chal on Shabbos, nidcha. What happens if Asara B'Teves is chal on Shabbos? Well, you don't have to worry about it because it can never happen. The way our luach is constructed, Asara B'Teves can never be on a Shabbos. Says the Avudram. Avudram is one of the G'dayli Arishayim. It's true. Practically, Asara B'Teves can never fall out on Shabbos. But if it were to fall on Shabbos, you would fast on Shabbos. Unbelievable chiddush. Not like Tisha B'Av. Not like Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. If Asara B'Teves would only land out on Shabbos, you would fast on Shabbos. You know why, says the Avudram? Because the Novi said you have to fast when? Ba'etzem hayoim hazeh. On this day. It's got to be on this day. Where else does it say Ba'etzem hayoim hazeh with regard to which other fast? Yom Kippur. If Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, we fast. It's got to be today Ba'etzem hayoim hazeh. So what is the big kasha? What is the obvious question? Tisha B'Av is clearly a sadder day. Is a more significant fast. And if that lands out on Shabbos, no. Doesn't override Shabbos, we push it off. So Asara B'Teves is more chumra than Tisha B'Av? Does that make sense to us? Was there a Churban Asara B'Teves? There was no Churban. What happened? Nebuchadnezzar besieges Yerushalayim. So clearly a tragic day. But how can that be more chumra than the Churban? If it lands on Shabbos, you have to fast. Ba'etzem hayom hazeh. But if Tisha B'Av lands on Shabbos and you don't fast, how can that be? So listen now to the most phenomenal chiddush of the Chasam Sofer. Says the Eilig Chasam Sofer, how long was this siege around Yerushalayim for? 2.5 years. What took so long? Says the Chasam Sofer something that only my Heilige Zayda, the Chasam Sofer, could say. Says the Chasam Sofer, all this time that they were besieging Yerushalayim HaKodesh, in the Beis Din Shel Ma'alo in Shomayim, there was a raging debate for or against the Churban. Will Nebuchadnezzar be successful? Will he not? And as long as they couldn't come to a conclusion, everything was on standstill. Eventually, on Asara B'Teves, the Beis Din paskin la'halacha that what? There's going to be a Churban, and indeed the rest is history. Listen now to the words of the Chasam Sofer. K'moy kein, so too. B'kol doir v'doir, in every generation. Every time kishehigia oisa yoim shel Asar B'Teves, every year. Do you know what happens on Asar B'Teves? Yoishvim bezdin shalamalo. Once again, the bezdin shalamalo convene, and they have a moishav bezdin. They're going to decide if what. Once again, is there going to be a churban this year, or there's going to be a binyan this year? Every year that happens when. On Asara B'Teves. Says the Chasam Sofer, there is one fast, besides Yom Kippur, that you actually fast on Shabbos. Anybody know what that is? Matanis Chalom. The Gemara says, although this is not the Minhag anymore, the Gemara says if somebody has a bad dream, that's a type of nevuah, that maybe there's a type of mishpat against him, and he has to fast on that day, even if it's on Shabbos. Why does he have to fast on Shabbos? Why can't you push it off till the next day? Says the Chasam Sofer, how can you push it off till the next day when the Mishpat is today? You had the dream today. That means there's a gzeirah today. You're going to fast tomorrow. You missed the boat. On Yom Kippur, do you know why you can't push it off? Because when's the Mishpat? The din is on Yud Tishri. Be'etzem ayem azeh. There's no point fasting the next day. You missed the Mishpat. Says the Chasam Sofer, Asara B'Teves, every year there is a mishpat. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyochul, with the Beis Din Shel Mala, are deciding, will there or won't there be a Churban this year? So it's a day of Mishpat, Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh, that's no coincidence, that exact same terminology, Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh, that the Torah writes with regard to Yom Kippur, same too with regard to Asara B'Teves. It's a day of Din, it's a day of Mishpat. So it's true, says the Chasam Sofer. The sadder day is, of course, Tisha B'Av, because that's when the Churban actually happened. That's why we have more Avelus. But which is the more Chamor day? When is the Psak Din? When is there a Gzera? Today is going to be the day Asara B'Teves. So if it falls out on Shabbos, says the Hilika Chasam Sofer, that's what the Abu Dram meant. That if Asara B'Teves would fall on Shabbos, it's like Yom Kippur on Shabbos. It's like a Tanis Chaloyim on Shabbos. There's a Mishpat today, you've got to fast today. So if we put everything together now, in closing, this time next week, Asara B'Teves is a day not of bygones, but of current affairs. To understand that we're lacking, we're missing. There's something seriously missing from our lives. First and foremost, that Ashras HaShchinah, that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we struggle to feel that, then the step in the right direction is to realize that all tzoros that befall Klal Yisrael, those are not bygones either. Rabbi Gamliel understood that. He was Boiche Imo. The Briskerov understood that. Don't make another day for the Holocaust. It's all about Tisha B'Av. It's all about the Beis HaMikdash. So what do? Well, Chafetz Chaim gave us our instructions. He gave us our marching orders. If Lashon Hara v'Sinas Chinam is what brought about the Churban, and Yosef and Binyamin understood that, and that's why they cried at the time of Achdus, because they realized that this Pirud, Sinas Chinam and Lashon Hara, had already infiltrated Klal Yisrael, then our job is not to participate in a fundraising campaign, but clear to be mischazik in the avodah of Lashon Hara and Sinas Chinam, to be mechazik the Achdus amongst Klal Yisrael. That's what brings about the Beis HaMikdash. That is the essence of the avodah of the Avelus on the Beis HaMikdash, but as mentioned, specifically on Asara B'Teves, because on Asara B'Teves, there's a Mishpat, there's a Gzar Din. Next Friday, Yud Teves Tov Shin Pei He, a decision is being made. There's going to be a Moshav Beis Din, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the Pamalia Shel Maila, is deciding whether the Beis HaMikdash is going to be restored this year. Next Friday is a very serious day. It's a day of Yom HaDin. I just want to share with you in closing, really, we should discuss this for many hours, but we only have 6 minutes. A year ago, exactly to the day yesterday, Rosh Chodesh Teves, I went with a group of about 20 Rabbonim from all over Eretz Yisrael down to the border to Kibbutz Be'eri. You've heard of Kibbutz Be'eri? Kibbutz Be'eri is right there on the border. It was one of the kibbutzim that was most hardest hit on Simchas Torah. And we were there as Chodesh Teves, 5 weeks after that. What we saw there was indescribable tragedy. We saw homes that have just literally been blitzed to pieces. We saw destruction. We saw pain. We were accompanied by one of the heads of Zaka. Zaka is the organization that deals with Chesed Shel Emes and tragedies like this, and the stories that we heard were harrowing and heart-wrenching. One scene I can never forget, we saw a house blown to pieces. You could see the black charred flames, the marks all over the houses, just a wall left. And next to it was an empty space. Clearly there was once upon a time a house there as well, but one wall had been reconstructed. Amongst amidst the churban we saw there. It was a very moving day, it was a very emotional day. But the most poignant memory of that day is we were introduced to a Yid called Yuval. Yuval is not religious. He wasn't wearing a yarmulke. He had a long ponytail dangling at the back of his head. It had been arranged that he was going to meet us and speak to us. Where did we meet him? We sort of clambered upon some big, huge pile of rubble and twisted metal, and there was a wall and a bit of a window, and he said, "This was my parents' house 6 weeks ago." On that Simchas Torah, his father was killed, Hashem Yimkeim Domoy. His mother, his brother-in-law, his nieces were taken into captivity. His mother and his nieces were returned, but his brother-in-law, as far as we know, is still there. And he spoke to us about his emunah, and about his bitachon, and about his tefillahs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that his brother-in-law should be restored. And he described when he came back, he was not on the kibbutz on that day, his life was spared. He came back to his parents' home and he just sees this mound of rubble. And he digs in the rubble, is there any remnant, what's left my parents' house? And he saw there was something gleaming under the bricks and he pulls it out and it was a Hanukkah menorah. That's what he discovered. The oir mitoch hachoshech. We were not allowed to bring cameras into the kibbutz on that day. But if we would have brought in a camera, it would have made the most remarkable picture. A circle of 20 rabbonim, each one with their black yarmulkes and beards and fracks. And in the middle of this circle, Yuval, talking to us about emunah and bitachon, with his ponytail, his rings, and no yarmulke. And he said, with half a smile on his face, he said, "You know, I'm not religious. My parents were not religious. I never thought I'd see the day that 20 rabbonim would be in my parents' dining room. Or at least what once was. I also didn't think so. I'd never heard of Kibbutz Be'eri before. Nobody planned it. Nobody scripted it. But the rabbonim just erupted into song. We began singing. Achenu kol beis Yisrael, and sunim batzara ubashivya oimdim v'chulei mokim yirachim elem." And Yuval was there with his eyes closed, all the rabbonim. And at the end, one by one, everybody went up to this Yuval and gave him a hug. "Yuval, chizakta otanu, chizakta otanu, you mechazakas, you emuna pshuta." And we daven. We take down your name and your brother-in-law's name, and I'm still in touch with this Yuval. But the abiding memory for me was the achdus, that feeling, that understanding, with a yarmulke or without a yarmulke, with a black beard or with a ponytail. Bonim atem lamokim. We're all one nation. Ki ish echad, belev echad, and sometimes it's tragedy that reminds us and that brings us together. That is the avodas Hashem. You find yourself in a seminary, in a large seminary, Baruch Hashem. You have opportunities and challenges in the avoda of Lashon Hara, of Sinas Chinam, an Avas Yisrael, a good word to a friend of yours. A compliment, to praise them, could be meraymen them, could be ma'achen them. And this is the avoida on these days. To not concentrate on our differences, but rather what brings us together. And that, on Asar B'Teves for Ezes Hashem, will bring us that zechus, to be zeicha b'din, to the ksiva v'chasim teiva, the zechus, our work, chizuk in Loshon Hara and sinas chinam. To mechazik avos Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be goyza on us, be'ezus Hashem, that this year should be the year of bias Mashiach Tzidkenu, and binyan beis Hamikdash v'mehira v'yameinu. Amen.